Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host tonight, Ryan, and joining me today is Josh Cook. Jocelyn was unfortunately not able to join us tonight, but she shall return next week. But Josh, you're here. Your name starts with J. So
it starts with J-O.
Logically, I just went like, Jocelyn can't come tonight. Okay, who's next? Josh, J-O, at A, it works. So, right? No, that's not the reason we brought you in. We brought you in because we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about, and you put a light on this awesome stuff we're going to talk about. I don't know what I'm saying. What have you been up to this week?
I, for one, has visited an old habit called World of Warcraft.
Nobody did that. I'm pretty sure we were told not to talk about World of Warcraft anymore. Let it slide.
I'm back into that. But other than that, I got into a zombie game.
What?
Right? Because I don't play a lot of zombie games.
I think that's another forbidden topic on this show, to be honest. But Jocelyn's not here, so we'll talk about zombies.
I have done nothing.
Oh, okay.
I stared at my screen. Things have moved, but I'm not sure what they were.
Okay, let's start with WoW. We talked about WoW. I know you and Joss were doing some raiding, and we'll have Jocelyn's take on that next week too. We'll see if you were telling the truth or not, but how'd the raid go?
It went very well, actually.
Oh, good.
I had never been to the place that we raided before, and I was tanking, so that was interesting. But James Yavagos, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He was there helping out, so he did most of the tanking for me. So,
right.
But it was great. I mean, the crew that we went with was a lot of fun. We cleared out most of the place before we even wiped. So,
sure.
It was a blast.
Is it true that you guys, now James, that name may sound familiar, I go voice to the chat room and to our listeners, he helped us out last year with Extra Life and has been on the show since then, but Extra Life is coming up pretty quickly. Almost as fast as my wedding. Wedding happened first, and then Extra Life. Got to get that order right. Extra Life. Interesting times. Now, are you guys is this all practice runs until you do your live raid, which you are scheduled to do?
Wait, we're doing a live raid?
Oh, you didn't know that? We scheduled you guys for a live raid for Extra Life. I'm pretty sure it was Joss's idea.
Whoa.
So if you were nervous about tanking Wednesday, you're definitely nervous now.
Yeah, for those who don't know, I have like major anxiety issues when it comes to
So I shouldn't tell you how many people
who I don't know in a place that I don't know about. Mm-hmm. And now I got to do it live?
That's why I said you got to practice. You're practicing.
I'm feeling the pressure already, man.
Hi. Well, you know what? I think
I'm feeling sick.
Well, you got another 55 minutes to hang on there. You know, we got a commitment to make towards A Move, and we don't want them to get upset with us, do they? But I'm glad you're playing WoW, because this is something I wanted to jump back into, and of course I haven't really had the time. I had the week off.
What could possibly be taking up so much time
with you? I wish it was video games.
What is so important in your life that you cannot play video games?
Well, I am, and I'm probably going to disappear off the show for a couple weeks coming up, because I got a wedding on the 20th of September, my wedding, and you know, once you factor in the wedding, the honeymoon, and all those busy weekends of trying to get things ready to go, you'll probably be seeing a lot less of me and a lot more of Joss, but I'm looking forward to it. I've actually been working on some signs and stuff and trying to inject as much of my personality and Ashley's personality into, you know, little things about the wedding. No one's going to be cosplaying. Everyone's dressed up in tuxes and, you know.
What?
Yeah, I know. I tried to get the Doctor Who bow tie because bow ties are cool, but it didn't
fly.
I'll
second that.
Yeah. But I've just, you know. It'll be a little bit of sprinkling, and those who recognize things will be like, ah, yes, that's geeky. And everybody else will be like, Ryan's such a weirdo, you know?
So, it's my family. Are you sure about this, Ash?
Yeah, I will. It's happened. Yeah. It's happened. I've had that conversation a few times. Oh, look at that. Yeah, You Wish in the chat says that's the same day as Scott's daughter. I actually emailed Scott and told him every time he talked about his wedding, his daughter's wedding, which is happening on the 20th as well, I said it gave me a mini panic attack because it reminded me of everything I had to get done. And he just replied, ha ha. So I think he feeled my pain. But anyways, enough wedding talk. I worked on the wedding stuff all week. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about video games. All
right. So what have you been playing then?
What have I been playing?
Yes.
I'm glad you said you played some zombie games because I've been on a bit of a zombie kick. Usually we leave that sort of conversation for Zombies Ate My Podcast, but I figured we'd touch it on here because that's a zombie podcast and this is a video game podcast. A lot of Resident Evil. I picked up Resident Evil 6 on the Steam sale out of morbid curiosity, and I see why people did not like that game. It's not Resident Evil. It's very action-y and almost to the point where it's like too action-y for what it's trying to do. Have you played Resident Evil 6?
I have not. I think the latest one I played... what's the one where they're... It looks like Africa or something like that?
That's 5. And yeah, it did five, take place in Africa, I believe.
That was the last one I had played.
That one I played as well and enjoyed it. But that was still like that Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil, you know, kind of feeling. This one is split into... Now, don't get me wrong. It's fun. I've found my enjoyment out of it. The issues I have with it is that the pace is all off. Like, it's so slow. It drags you out. Like, at the start, I chose to play as... you have a choice of 4 pairs, and I chose to start playing as Leon and Helena. And the first little bit is actually pretty interesting. You know, the president turns into a zombie, and then Leon shoots the president. That's not a spoiler. It happens in the... I think it's in the trailer. So... if you were excited about that game before it came out, you've heard this. And it's like, what's going on? It's like, I'll tell you everything. We just got to get to the cathedral. And the cathedral's like up the street. But shit just happens. And you have to like go around the long way. So it turns out like you're doing like 3 or 4 hours worth of mission just to get to the cathedral. And then what happens when you get to the cathedral? This big zombie that's like pussing out gas or whatever that turns people into other zombies is there, and that's a whole other mess. But yeah, it's got its issues. So I switched over to the last Resident Evil game that came out before this that actually got good reviews, which was Resident Evil Revelations. I'm playing on the Wii U, although you guys can pick it up on the PC, a system you actually own. I make that joke a lot. It's true.
I plan on for things we're going to get into later, I'm definitely planning on picking up a Wii U before.
Oh, yeah. Nintendo is trying. They are trying. But Resident Evil Revelations is sort of like your old school Resident Evil game. It's much tighter because it started out as a portable game. And the best part about portable games is that they have to be very finite and short bursts of fun because you have to be able to play a level on the bus and close it and go to work. That's how it works. So I'm happy to say that Revelations is definitely, if you're having a Resident Evil kick, definitely get Revelations because that will scratch that itch until Capcom releases that Resident Evil remastered on the console you own. I think they're coming out on Xbox One, so you'll be able to pick it up.
There's almost nothing on the Xbox One these days.
You know what? There's almost nothing out on the PS4, so you don't have to worry about that.
Everything's coming out in November. That's the game plan.
Is it? Yeah. I thought everything was coming out in February of next year.
That's the second launch.
That's the plan B, just in case Unity and Dragon Age Inquisition are no good.
The first launch is November, and the second launch of everything else is February.
You know, sometimes you wonder if they just, like, tricked developers into, like, developing games early. Like, say, okay, we're going to launch it in November of 2013. And then, like, last minute, it's like, ha, all you people who got games in development for 2013 of November, guess what? You get a whole other year to build your game because they're delaying the system launch to 2014. Wah, think of wah, all the amazing wah. Launch titles. You've got Inquisition, Unity, a new Call of Duty. What else is coming out in November? Am I forgetting?
Unity, Inquisitions. Mm-hmm. There was a third one. The expansion to WoW is also coming out.
Okay.
like, those are the big three for me, because it was perfectly lined up where each month there was something, and now there's three in one.
So what's coming out in September? Actually, there's not anything allowed to come out in September. No,
Destiny. The only thing coming out... Is Destiny September?
Yep, it's actually September 9th in a week. Or a week and a bit. But, yeah, I don't know. What's this Unturned Madness? Is that a zombie game while we're on on the topic?
It's a playful zombie game. Oh. You heard of the game DayZ, I'm sure.
I have.
It's DayZ, but with a Minecraft look to it. So it's a little blocky. Right now it's in beta. It's free to try on Steam.
Interesting.
But I was having a lot of fun with it. Like, I played DayZ mod back on Arma 3. I haven't played the standalone release. But, yeah, I mean, it feels like the same exact game. You had to maintain your hunger, your thirst. If you get hit by a zombie, it starts building up a disease meter and you have to find medication. It's been a lot of fun, and it's very simple. Starting up a game and hosting it kind of felt like the old days, where if I just click host, you guys can join easily instead of having to set up a standalone server.
Oh, you mean I don't have to ask you for your IP address? Is that what you're saying?
I'm assuming not. I haven't tried multiplayer yet, but considering how easy it was just to open up and host a game, it should be cake to join it.
Huh.
Because I hosted a Minecraft server, and that was just a pain in the butt to get going.
We might have to try this at some point. I am going I'm going to log this game, and we'll give it a shot. Maybe we'll YouTube it. It looks interesting. I want to try the co-op.
It downloads in, like, less than 10 minutes.
Cool.
So it's a very quick download. Again, I was having fun. It's a small map. It's not DayZ-size map, but it's got all the essentials, and it's really fun.
Dude, nobody wants a DayZ-size map. Have you ever tried to play DayZ with a friend? I spent an hour trying to find my buddy I was playing with, and then all we did once we found each other was, like, I don't know what you call this without being sexist. Like, what is it? Slapping? Just slap fighting a zombie. I was going to say girl fighting, but that's not true. I know girls that can punch way harder than me. Like, my fiance probably just heard that comment and is like, yep, logging that one. I just heard her laugh. So, I'm, what were we talking about? Unturned. Yeah. I'm looking forward to trying that. That's interesting. And again, keeping with the zombie theme, wow, we are going to get letters. I'm not going to go in too depth for this, but Walking Dead Season 2 just finished. Are you playing Walking Dead Season 2 there, Josh?
I am not.
Man.
I couldn't get into The Walking Dead.
Really?
Both the show and the whole game. I just couldn't. Like, I love Telltale games, so for that, I might give it a try.
Well, I don't want to force you to play it, because I forced Jocelyn to play it, and it was a little rough after that. She was not happy about that game. I think the reason she didn't enjoy it was because, like she said, it was a couple Game of the Year episodes ago, but it was because she played the whole thing in one sitting, which is a feat of its own, but it's an episodic title, so you're probably best to play it in chunks as it comes out. I find I like it as a quick sit down and play. But season two is now complete, and it's good. Season two is, I don't want to spoil it. Season two is an interesting departure from season one. They introduce a lot more characters. They take away a lot more characters. It kind of felt like they introduced, like, way back, like episode two, they introduced a whole group of people just to kind of, you know, psych you out. Like, they give you a crowd of people to enjoy and get to know. And then over the course of the rest of the season, they take. So, it's an emotional ride, and, you guys should definitely check it out. If you're interested in a spoiler conversation, I know Joss is currently playing through it. She might be around episode 2. But until then, on Zombies Ate My Podcast, we are going to be covering it next week, I believe, if schedules hold out. And we'll actually be giving away a copy of Walking Dead Season 2, and we'll have details for that on the episode, mainly because I haven't figured out how we're going to do it. and I realized we did the same thing with The Wolf Among Us. I realized the irony of making you listen to a spoiler episode so you can win a copy of a game. But we'll do it at the start of the episode. This way you can stop listening. Or not stop listening. Pause and come back. I look forward to talking about that and going over it with Joss, who is not a hardcore zombie fan. That's the difference between those two shows. Josh, I almost called you Joss. Josh,
what else? It's so similar.
I know. What else are you playing? Anything else? You haven't touched anything else?
Not for the most part. A bit of Dragon Age to get ready for Dragon Age Inquisition coming out. Just kind of reliving that whole saga because I love it so much.
Yeah. Now, did you start with Dragon Age 1 or 2?
1. I started a completely new playthrough because it carries over like it does in Mass Effect. So I wanted to start fresh and new. And right now, I just started Dragon Age 2. So I finished Dragon Age 1 as well as Dragon Age Awakening, which was the expansion to it.
I reinstalled Dragon Age 2 thinking I might check it out. I booted it up. I was like, I forgot the graphics. They've aged pretty well, but they have aged. I don't even want to go back to Dragon Age 1 to see what that looks like. But, we have a lot of news here linked up. So what I will do is I'll save this infamous First Light until next week. I'm still working my way through it. But if you own a PS4, you kind of have to hand it to yourself to pick up one of the few titles that have come out to be a really good gem to check out. Infamous Second Son was one of those tentpole titles that Sony was showing people. And this is a sort of a prequel where you play as Fetch. Which is the female secondary character in the first one. It's interesting. You get to a more expanded sort of suite of neon powers, whereas in the first one you had a small sub-selection of that. So it's interesting. Definitely check it out. I'll try to finish it for next week and we'll talk about it. But before we talk about the news, Jocelyn and I would really appreciate... Let me start over. Jocelyn and I didn't switch over these names, so it kind of screwed me up. And Hog Hunter in the chat room says Infamous was boring. It depends if you're interested in third-person action superhero video games. It is super awesome. It's not boring at all. I didn't find it boring, but I could see how somebody might try really hard to find it boring. Sorry, I'm trying to think of why it would be boring. I guess like maybe the mission structure is a little GTA-ish in the sense that you're just going from point A to point B and shooting things. So maybe Hog Hunter didn't find the powers interesting. Because if you don't find the powers interesting, then yeah, Infamous is going to be pretty boring. Anyways, I had to address that. I love you, Hog Hunter. Don't take it personally. I'd maybe check this new one out if you can, because I think they're a lot better than the older ones. he's offended. Somebody help him out there. Joss and I really appreciate your continued support of our show. You tried really hard. All right, I'll give you that, Hog Hunter. You tried really hard. Joss and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. Use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. I made IRS cry. I'm sorry, IRS. We're going to move into the news. And before we move into the news, I'm going to try something pretty crazy. We're going to bring Evan in to talk about Dragon Age Inquisition. How does that sound? It's going to screw up the video, but you'll forgive me. It's going to screw up the video, but yeah, you know what? It's dynamic. That's how we roll on the Gamers Inn. It's going to show... Yeah, it shows both of you. All right. Evan, you're on the line. How's it going? I can't hear Evan.
He's still loading into.
Oh, he's still loading. Okay. So we're gonna talk about Dragon Age Inquisition in a little bit. Evan, just pipe in when you get in.
I'm here.
Oh, he's here. Hey, Evan, how's it going?
I had to mute the stream. I'm good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You had mentioned on Twitter you wanted to chat about Inquisition, and I'm going to be honest. I've been staying away from all the Inquisition coverage. I don't know if it's because I don't want to get super excited about a 200-hour game, or the fact that I just want to get it and not know anything. And this week, they announced a bunch of multiplayer content. And I know, I think it's thanks to Mass Effect 3 that we're all not going, oh man, BioWare screws up the single-player RPG, boo, you know? So you guys, pretty steeped in this Dragon Age stuff on the Any Key Gaming podcast, and I want to get the scoop on what you guys are going to talk about on Sunday. So why don't you tell me, why do I want to be excited about Dragon Age Inquisition and its multiplayer? Josh, start.
Oh, that's a loaded question.
Is it a loaded question? Okay, start off with the basics. What's the multiplayer like?
I have no idea. I don't know about you, Josh, but until this announcement this week, I didn't even know that they were planning on doing this. It was a complete surprise to me, totally. I hadn't heard that they were doing multiplayer, so...
I'm in the same boat. I had no idea they were going to go multiplayer, and to hear it on top of all the other cool stuff we've heard just makes me more excited.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay video that I saw, it kind of looks like it's... Think of it as doing like a dungeon in World of Warcraft, but with only four people. And they say it's challenging because in the game, in the single player mode, you can pause time, plan out your strategy, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
In multiplayer, you can't.
Uh-oh.
So it's free running. Make sure you're good on your buttons, etc., etc.
So Perky's not going to like that in the chat room, who's a big fan of strategy titles. So there's less strategy in multiplayer. So does it be, well, obviously there's still strategy, but less strategic pause and command type strategy. It's more about, okay, you make sure you got the right flank, I'll be on heels. So you say it's like a mini WoW dungeon. I mean, it's always interesting to see when companies build these multiplayer things into these hardcore single player games. And I'm excited that BioWare is trying it again with Dragon Age, but it'll be interesting to see. Now, what systems are you guys playing on? I got to stop addressing both of you at the same time. That's my bad. That is totally my fault. Evan, what system are you guys picking? What are you picking it up on, Evan?
Well, I've got it pre-ordered for the Xbox One because my wife is a huge Dragon Age fan. She was the one that got me into Dragon Age and stuff, and she's always played on the 360 and stuff. So we've got it on the One pre-ordered. But this whole multiplayer thing is making me consider maybe buying it on the PC as well so mm-hmm. that I can, if you're going to get it on PC, like for the multiplayer side of things, I don't know. I'm a bit in the lurch with that one.
Yeah. I know that that I'll probably, well, pending the recommended system requirements aren't like, you need a new video card. Although, it would kill me because then you're at the point of, do I buy a new video card or do I buy an Xbox One? But,
You should just buy an Xbox One and get EA Access.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to have to pull you back in at the end of the show? Maybe we'll just keep you around. I mean, because we've got an email, folks, about EA Access that takes the end to task a little bit. And, we'll keep you around. We got some more news here we'll run through. But I'm glad you guys are excited about Dragon Age Inquisition. I'll probably pick it up on PC. I know if Jocelyn's going to pick it up, she'll pick it up on PC. I'm so ready for a third person action RPG. I need it. And
agreed.
I can't remember the last one that I played that was like maybe Witcher 2. That would have been the last one that was really scratched that itch.
Yeah. For me, that's which one it was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool. Well, Evan, we'll keep you around. I think, it would be nice to get some perspective. You guys both own Xbox Ones, right?
Correct.
We do.
Interesting. Okay, well, this could get heated. We're going to talk about Nintendo, because Nintendo decided that the last week of August was a good time to announce a bunch of stuff. So we'll start off here with Mario Kart 8 DLC, which started off on a really weird foot, like where Nintendo released that really weird like live-action Mario Mercedes-Benz commercial, and then like 4 months later they actually published the DLC. So I now have that free DLC of those three like cars inspired by real cars. And now they've announced that the DLC is going to include Link and Animal Crossing.
Yep.
How do you guys feel about that?
I like it.
You like it?
I mean, obviously Mario Kart 8 is a huge seller for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
And to show that they're going to stick behind this title and continue to add content, I think it's only going to lead to good things.
You know, I'm a big fan of, obviously, of Nintendo characters, and I don't mind seeing, like, these offshoot characters sort of appear in Mario games. Like, I think Link fits in really well with the Mario universe. As we know, Link is a little more serious, but I'm interested to see that Nintendo's going so hard on this Zelda stint, you know? Ever since the Wii U came out, maybe it's because ever since the Wii U came out, everyone's like, ooh, I can't wait for the new Zelda game. And they're like, yeah. Oh, everybody wants Zelda. Okay, it takes at least 5-6 years to make a really good Zelda. Let's just put Zelda in everything until we can actually make a real Zelda game. It's like, perfect. Hyrule Warriors, Wind Waker HD, Link in fucking Mario Kart, you know? And there's probably going to be like 6 different versions of amiibos of Link by the time the new Zelda comes out. But you both don't own a Wii U, correct?
Correct.
Yes. No. Now, does this DLC option and some would say this year Nintendo has actually started to embrace all the wonderful and awful things about DLC. Does this make you excited? Like, Josh, do you want to pick up a Wii U now that you see that they're more supportive of DLC? Or,
well, I wanted to pick up a Wii U before this. Mm-hmm. Seeing this, there's actually a couple things. Like, outside of the three games that I'm buying over the next couple months, I'm saving up for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Hyrule Warriors is looking better every time I see it. Mario Kart 8, obviously, is fantastic. Looking at the DLC, the fact that there's two of them, but it's a great deal to buy them together, is, you know, it's all great things that Nintendo's doing. I thought their E3 conference was phenomenal. So, mm-hmm. Like, I before E3, I could have given you 100 reasons not to buy a Wii U, but now, I can't. I want it so bad.
Yeah. Perky in the chat room's making some interesting comments about Mario Kart 8 being a prime example of crass commercialism. I mean, let's be honest. I can't tell if he's joking. Obviously, the DLC for the Mercedes-Benz stuff is pretty awful and not a great way for Nintendo to stick its foot in the DLC arena. But there are plenty of games out there that offer way worse DLC strategies. At least the Mercedes-Benz stuff was free. Like, it's not like the Burger King sneak attack games that you could buy and get the 1,000 achievement points. I never did it. Don't even go there. I'm excited that Nintendo is looking at DLC as a more viable option to extend the life of their titles. Because one of the things I really hate is like beating a Mario game and not having any more levels. And it's like, I really wish I just had more Mario to play, and I have to wait another 3 years to get another Mario game. It's the same thing with Mario Kart. I really wish there was more tracks. I really wish there was more characters. Well, Nintendo is giving me what I want.
Boy, have I got a deal for you, Ryan.
Exactly. And the deal's pretty great. $11.99 for 16 tracks in total. And if you've played Mario Kart, you know that one whole track is phenomenal. I was worried that they were going to announce like $2 a track and there's going to be three of them. And,
yeah,
you know,
that would've been a bad idea.
They haven't really been too serious about this DLC stuff. And this shows me that Nintendo's like, all right, Mario Kart is our number one selling game right now. Let's extend the life of that thing. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if next summer we have a Mario Kart 8 Complete Edition and Nintendo just jumps right into the whole DLC pool. And it'll be a sad day, but it'll also be a little awesome for those who are like, I guess it's time to pick up a Wii U. Evan, are you interested in a Wii U now that we've detailed Nintendo's strategy on DLC?
I think Mario Kart 8, probably when they released that, made me more interested in getting a Wii U. I think at this point I'd probably consider buying a PS4 instead of a Wii U, like, and as having that as my second system.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't say I would not think about buying it. I mean, Nintendo still makes brilliant first-party games. Like, I've got my 3DS. I finally picked up Mario Golf mm-hmm. the other week, and they make such fun games. Like the Mario games and the Zelda games, they are so much fun. So I can see it happening. You know, I'm certainly not ruling them out.
Yeah. Oh, never rule Nintendo out, but if someone comes up to me and says, I don't own any of the next-gen systems, what do I buy? Of course I'm going to tell them, well, do you like Halo or do you like Sony first-party games? Yeah. It's like, okay, you're probably going to want to get a PS4. You're probably going to want to get an Xbox One. But Nintendo is more like, okay, did you grow up with Nintendo and buy every system and always have, no matter what your friends are playing? You know, then you're probably going to want a Wii U. And before or not, there's always like that one game that convinces somebody to pick up the Nintendo system. Sometimes it's a brand new Zelda. Sometimes it's a new Star Fox, who knows. But speaking of 3DS, Japan's getting a new one. I guess you guys are kind of, you know, disappointed that it's not coming to North America or Europe quite yet. But in October, Japan is getting a new 3DS that will feature not only a second weird nub that is supposed to be, that when they said a second analog stick, I was like, sweet. And then I went and saw it. It's like a little nub. Like, that doesn't sound very interesting. But the interesting part really is that they're not only boosting the CPU power on it, they're boasting that the 3D effects will be much better, and the screens are bigger. So it's like another new system, and some games will come out that are only compatible with this new 3DS. This is one of those Nintendo decisions that it's like, what? Like, are you not ready to announce a new 3DS? So you're just kind of like splintering the audience even more?
Yeah.
I don't understand what they're doing.
All right. It's like, I like the idea of upgrading the 3DS. It's doing a lot better than their Wii or Wii U systems, so it's obviously their moneymaker.
Mm.
And updating it is just, you know, giving it a modern feel. I do like the look of it. I like the SNES throwback on the XYAB design.
Yeah.
I'm not too keen on the response. Like, they're like, oh, when's it coming out in the States? And they're like, not this year. Like, that's it. That's all they said. There was, maybe 2015, maybe second quarter. No, it was like, nope. Let's just focus on Japan right now. I was like, oh, man.
I'll be kind of bummed if we see this thing come out next year and we see Smash come out in October on 3DS and that Smash game kind of falters because the 3DS, it owns its own. It does pretty well in terms of performance, but Smash is a pretty fast-paced game, and I'm kind of worried that it's going to stutter on the 3DS, and it really sucked to see like this new CPU-boosted 3DS come out and then have, you know, Smash on my old system kind of playing sluggish. Like, Evan, are you interested in picking... Are you going to wait now that you said you might get another system? Or are you going to wait for this new 3DS? Like, what do you think?
I don't think I'll update my 3DS. I don't see the need for that.
But man, faceplates. I mean, come on now.
Well, I'm trying to look at an article because I hadn't heard about it. Is one of the reasons they're doing it, so one of the articles I'm looking at, is it because of this Amiibo stuff? Is that why? Like, is it going to work on the 3DS, whereas it wouldn't work? Doesn't that stuff's not going to work on the old ones? Is that one of the reasons? Or
It's interesting you bring that up because they had some Amiibo news too. I mean, the new system will allow native support for the Amiibo. So you'll be able to place the Amiibo on the lower portion of the screen and have it scan in. Older 3DS units will require an adapter, which basically looks like a little sphere thing attached to a USB cord. And I mean, I'm not too worried about it either. I think the faceplates idea is cool because everybody sees those new 3DSs that they announce, like, oh, there's a cool Triforce one. It's like, well, great. Do I buy another $150 system? Well, I guess not, because it's just a color scheme, right? But now you'll be able to, you know, You'll be able to change your 3DS skin with whichever game you're playing. I think that's kind of interesting.
It's going to be like skins and MOBAs. I buy too many of those as it is. Now I'm going to be buying like all these for my 3DS.
Exactly. And you know, you can put your Pikachu one on at home to kind of appreciate. And then when you go out in public, you can put your Mario one on because that's more acceptable in the public eye. I love Pokemon, don't get me wrong. But Amiibos, $13. Quick thoughts. Evan, does that sound too much? That's 13 US. So I don't know how that would translate to Australian.
Per little character?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Well, I suppose that's pretty relative to the pricing of, like, say, the Infinity characters and stuff. So if that's the... I mean, obviously it works differently, but I don't think that's overpriced, depending on... Oh, it depends on what they do with it, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do with them, because that's a good point. Not only do we not have an announcement on release date, we still don't really have a really good solid idea of what they're going to do outside of Smash. They say, like, here's what it's going to work, how it's going to work in Smash. It's kind of like a virtual fighter thing. But they haven't really talked about how it's going to work in other games. They have this long list of games that they're going to support, but there's still no details on that. But I'm looking forward to those Amiibos. I really hope that they live up to the quality that they appear to have in those screenshots. Because, man, $13 really doesn't go a long way these days for action figures. I don't know if you've been down a toy aisle lately, but them things are pretty shiesty. Okay, final story, and it's going to be quick because everyone's talking about this. Amazon bought Twitch. I think we spent a whole episode talking about Google possibly buying Twitch. I don't know. Like, I see it here right in the notes. Twitch special. Oh, it was because of all those changes they made. But yeah, Twitch bought Amazon, Amazon bought Twitch.
Yeah.
And
that'd be funny if Twitch bought Amazon.
It would be. It'd be a really weird.
The tables have turned.
You know, Amazon goes in, I think we're going to purchase you guys. And then Twitch is like, counter offer. We're going to buy you. Boom. And then they just walk out. It's like, what? We're definitely buying them and shutting them down now. I don't care about this. Do you guys care that Amazon bought Twitch?
Same story, different characters. That's my idea on it. It's another big company that bought an independent company, and they're saying, oh, we're just going to let you keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Facebook did it with Oculus Rift. Now Amazon did it with Twitch. So,
yeah. I don't see them. I don't see Twitch changing. I think the changes we saw to Twitch a couple weeks ago are going to be bigger changes than what Amazon does to Twitch. Like, maybe not in the long run, but in the short term, I think that's definitely going to be true. Perky, who's being super awesome in the chat room, except for trolling Josh. He's not a big fan of the Xbox One.
Not at all, is he? No.
It's a discussion.
I would disagree with a lot of stuff he's been saying about the Xbox One, but anyway.
Yeah.
It's a professional discussion. That's
You guys are both being very good, but he makes a good point that Amazon buying Twitch fits Amazon's current strategy well. Not sure if it's a good idea to try and gain control of the current channels, but it fits the idea very well. That's true. Not only is Amazon looking to put out a console, but they have their own game studios now, so it kind of makes sense to snap up the next big thing in gaming. I know VR is a while off, but live streaming your games, as we saw, was a huge, huge pillar for those next-gen systems. Nintendo said something stupid about Twitch, probably. I don't know.
Oh, Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo is sometimes, like, this week, they're coming off really strong, but next week they'll say something stupid about VR or Twitch or something.
Internet connections are the devil. You should all be playing couch co-op.
Dude, when internet was big, and like I think it might have been the GameCube, they were saying stuff like that.
Yeah,
they were saying like the internet is interesting and works well for email, but we feel like gaming is meant to be on the couch, which is true. I agree with that statement, but you should never limit your customers. All right, enough news talk. Let's get into some listener feedback, but first, if you want to show your TGI pride, head over to /loot.com. That's S-L-A-S-H loot.com to grab yourself a Gamers Inn t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including designs by Carter Johnson, like Best Pals, as well as all your other favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, The Morning Stream, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and, of course, The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off all your podcast pride. You could get a different shirt for every day of the week, and then you'd be spreading the news of all these great shows. You should definitely do that. We got a couple things in listener feedback here. Jim Bean sends us a tweet. He says, I've found the game I'll play at 12 a.m. for Extra Life. Five Nights at Freddy's. Did you guys watch? I know Evan hasn't seen this, but Josh, you watched this video, did you not?
I don't know if, like, I didn't see the one that you had posted, but I've seen a different one.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a freaky game.
Yeah.
It's essentially a game where you are stuck in a Chuck E. Cheese type environment, and you're turning cameras on and off to watch these animatronic demons. Well, they're animals, really, but they are demons. Watching them move ever so closer to you, and you expend battery controlling lights and controlling doors and looking at the cameras and stuff. It looks super scary, and Ash confirms in the chat room. He says it's the best. I don't know if that's true or not, but he says it's very scary. And I had suggested maybe this be our Slender for the Extra Life Marathon. It's $5 on Steam right now. I'm sure it'll go on sale around Halloween, so we can pick it up for the Extra Life stream. But Evan, do you like scary games?
I haven't played a lot, to be honest. It's not that I don't like them. I don't know. I just haven't ever played a lot of them. I can remember you talked a little bit about Resident Evil earlier on. I used to play some of the old ones. Those that were scary, I suppose, in a way. But I don't know. I'm not a huge horror fan. No, not really.
Yeah. I'm not a big horror fan either because it limits the amount of games, the times I can play that game. Like, for example, Resident Evil, like, it's not that I'm scared, it's not that I'm afraid to go to bed without the light on, but it's just that when I'm playing that game, like playing Resident Evil, like 2 in the morning, and then it just gets to you, like, it spooks you, you're extra susceptible to, like, jump scares, it's just not fun anymore at that point, but I don't know, for charity, this might be worth checking out. I think, Jocelyn, if you watched our video, there's probably some highlights out there. Based on precedents from last year. Or maybe it wasn't last year. It was the year before that. It's all starting to blend together. But I'm glad Jim is taking that bullet for us. And we'll certainly pimp his live stream when he does play this game, because it looks scary. And as always, want to thank the patrons. You can go to patreon.com/thegamersin. I know it's not /TGI. It's /thegamersin. And you can become a patron to vote on game night, to help us build our new website, which is coming along fancy dancy. I want to thank specifically Eric Booth for being a awesome patron. He's been with us since the beginning. Someone who may have been with us since the beginning has some choice words for us. Rich is going to talk to us about EA Access. He sent us an email. We've been kind of bashing EA Access a little bit. And, yeah, okay, I guess we've been a little mean, but Rich took offense. Not really took offense, he has some counter-arguments. And I didn't get a chance to edit this, so we'll go through it point by point. Hey, you two, been listening to you shit on EA Access for a couple weeks now. Granted. I am here to counter your arguments. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, and I respect that, but I don't think you are looking at EA Access from the right point of view. That point of view is someone like myself. I play sports games, FIFA mainly, but a bit of Madden. EA Access pays for itself for someone who is a sports game enthusiast. That's something that I did try to bring up when we started talking about it. I felt like if you were big into sports and you were okay waiting a year for that roster update, you would be fine with EA Access. Are you guys sports gamers, Josh?
Casually. I might pick it up every now and then, but for the most part, I stick to RPGs and titles like that.
So EA Access is perfect for a casual sports fan. That's what I almost think, like, Rich is disproving his point by saying it's for him as a hardcore sports fan. I think it's for those like me and you and possibly Evan, who aren't big fans of sports titles and would only check them out at a friend's place. And now with EA Access, $5 a month, I get to try FIFA. I get to try basketball. I don't know if they have a basketball game. Like, what do you think, Evan? Are you a sports gamer or whatever?
I'm not a huge sports gamer. However, I did sign up to EA Access last weekend. I did that and I installed FIFA 14 and I started playing and I had a lot of fun. I remember one of the first games I had on my computer back in the day was Euro 96, which was an old football game. And I loved it. And so that, and it just brought that back to it. And for $5 a month, it saves me, like in Australia, we don't pay $60 for Xbox games. We pay $100 for a brand new game. So $5 a month or $30 a year for me, if I play FIFA 14, you know, two or three weekends, then that makes that $30 I've spent that year or whatever, $35 I think it might be Australian, totally worth it. It's FIFA 14 is one of the few games I can actually, if I have four controllers, I can have four people sitting on my couch playing, which you can't do in any games anymore. Like, there's nothing like Dragon Age multiplayer is going to be awesome, but I highly doubt I'll be able to play it with my wife sitting next to me. Like, so that excites me that I don't quite understand how we give you early access to our games when they come out. I'm real confused by that, to be honest.
Sure.
Someone says 5 days, doing. And then they what? Who knows what they're doing? What?
Josh and Rich know what they're doing. I hadn't even thought of the Australian. Like, I know in Australia, like you said, it costs a lot of money to buy games.
It's and damn the
fact,
expensive.
Yeah, the fact that you can pay $35 a year, which is awesome that EA isn't like jacking that price up for you. I guess it's because it's digital, right? Like, or digital games the same price.
No, digital games, it's because of our consumer affairs and stuff, so they have to be the same as what we pay in a store. But I think it works out. I think it's $7 a month here, correct myself, which is still – that's still fine. Like, I think it's genuinely a really good model. Like, Perky's saying it's like Netflix. Like, I have a workaround because technically Netflix isn't in Australia, but I subscribe to Netflix. And for $10 a month or whatever, or $15 a month it cost me for the VPN and all that, like it's worth – all I have to do is watch two movies a month, which we watch so much TV shows and stuff off of it. We get the value back in no time, and I consider it exactly the same thing, except I don't have to go to the video store to hire a game for 3 days, you know. I think it's brilliant.
That's a really excellent point. I think that so far the localization and being in Australia and other countries where games are very expensive, good on EA for offering this in those countries. It's almost like this program was made for those countries and they just decided, well, we might as well do it worldwide. But Rich goes on to say, EA Access pays for itself for someone who's a sports game enthusiast. I save 10% on Madden and will save 10% on FIFA. That's $10 right off the bat. Plus the discount on DLC. On top of, and he goes on about the vault. So it sounds like he personally is getting value out of EA Access, which is all that matters. I'm being super light on this guy. I know Jocelyn, we're here. She'd be like, stop defending him. But he goes on about the vault and how, you know, the vault is only four games now, but could easily expand to such titles as the Need for Speed franchise, Dragon Age, and PBZ. I think the vault is a cool idea and works well for marketing. It's like, oh, you're interested in that new Dragon Age Inquisition? Well, you get 10% off, 6 hours for your 5-day early access, and here's Dragon Age 1 and 2 for you to play. Don't even worry about paying for it. It's a great advertising way of, you know.
I don't want to break Rich's heart, but Dragon Age Inquisition is not going to be on that anytime soon.
Yeah.
It's
maybe
not,
in a year's time or something.
I would be surprised if it was in there within a year after release.
I think the only reason, like, a lot of people would argue that Battlefield 4 is in there right now. I think the only reason that is because Battlefield 4 kind of fell on its face, and as Perky mentioned, you have to pay for the DLC. So Battlefield 4 has an outrageous amount of DLC. You could probably buy, you know, the DLC in total, and that would cost about the same price as the game. And he goes on to talk about early access and how we were kind of disappointed that early access was only 6 hours. I think we covered our butts on that one by eventually coming around and realizing that 6 hours is a long time over the course of 5 days, and you could beat a lot of games in 6 hours. Like, you could probably sit down and get your fill of Need for Speed or something in 6 hours. Now, do you have to buy the game to get early access? Do you guys know?
I don't think so, because I could install the latest Madden or whatever the other day. It gave me the option to do that without buying it, and that was the early, and it was saying it was the early access thing because I hadn't come out at that point. So I don't think so. I didn't try it, but.
So that's an interesting point. I had always thought that the early access was for a game you bought. I think it'd be cool if, yeah, sure, 6 hours for a game you haven't purchased, that makes sense. But if you buy a game, pre-order it, you should be able to have it for those 5 days and with no timer. I think that's the way to go about it. And, you know, there's obviously time for this thing to evolve. EA can't just give their games away. That's true. They can only give games away that have, you know, they've already sucked the money out of them. Gets pretty winded near the end.
Yeah.
If you expected EA to give you brand new titles for $5 a month and don't really get into sports games, then this would be perceived as bad value. I don't think it's a bad value. I think it's a great value. And I know EA is not going to give us new games. A lot of people know that. And he finishes off with the lovely wording of, I know it's cool to shit on EA, but I think you guys need to maybe take a devil's advocate view of it and maybe have a discussion. Thanks, Rich.
All right.
Can I go ahead, Josh. Yeah. All right.
First of all, I want to defend you and Jocelyn.
Thank you.
I don't agree with anybody playing devil's advocate to something that they absolutely don't like. Comes off as disingenuous, and you guys don't own an Xbox One. So it's really hard to try to love something from a company with a lot of bad rep that you're never going to try. So, yeah,
and EA kind of, they have a bad blood on the Gamers Inn due to the whole Mass Effect 3 conundrum, and then the year after with SimCity. That was a huge crushing blow. And maybe that's why I'm not super excited about Dragon Age Inquisition. I don't know. I'm not super into it, but I like to think that I'm usually the one that tries to, you know, tiptoe over the line and see what the devil's advocate point of view is like. I've always liked to, I don't know, let's say I always like to argue with Jocelyn. I mean, that's part of the fun of the show is having differing opinions. I can definitely see if someone is a super huge fan of EA Access could look at how our discussion was going and think we were shitting all over it. I don't think we were shitting all over EA, and I don't think it's cool to shit on EA. I just think EA needs to get their shit together, and then maybe it'll stop seeming like everyone's kind of picking on them. Go ahead, Josh.
Good news for Rich.
Mm-hmm.
The devil's advocate is here tonight.
Oh, perfect. Both of you have Xbox Ones.
But
mm-hmm.
only partially. Like, here's my current stance on EA Access.
Sure.
As of right now, it is a decent deal. If you plan on buying Battlefield 4, FIFA 14, or that football game, Madden 15,000, if you plan on buying those at any point right now, just buy the year subscription, because you get that game, plus you get all the benefits that come with it. So if you plan on buying...
You get the year previous version of Madden and FIFA, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you plan, like, if you're kind of on the fence about Battlefield 4 and you don't know if you want it, just buy the year subscription EA Access, you get your Battlefield 4, plus you get all these benefits that you never knew you wanted. With that being said, I think the current lineup in the vault is meant to be appealing. That's why Battlefield 4 is in there. That's why FIFA coming straight off the World Cup is in there. And
Peggle 2 is a great addition. That game's not even a year old.
Yeah. And I think, like, the positive is I think the price is great. $30, like, I paid for the 1 year subscription. $30 out of my pocket is not a huge deal if I'm getting this whole thing for 1 year.
I think I mentioned that I would totally drop $30. It may have been the second time it came up. It seems to come up every week. I don't know. Maybe that's because people seem to be enjoying it. But I for one believe that if I had an Xbox One, I would certainly drop $30 because I'm not going to go out and buy Madden or FIFA or Battlefield, or I would probably have owned Peggle. So I probably would buy, I'd probably just buy Peggle and also buy the EA Access. But, you know, because I think it's a great value and it's a great way to try other games. I mean, I'd hate to, for any of our listeners to think that we shit on something. I mean, how come we never get any emails saying, you guys need to stop shitting on the Wii U? It's like, come on, guys. It's like, oh, it's bad when we shit on EA, but Nintendo could take
it. Well, you can't really blame anyone for shitting on EA. Because, I mean, EA is a publishing company. I mean, first and foremost, you have to realize that their job description is, we take the game that you make, give it to the masses, make it look appealing, and bring in the money. Mm-hmm. So for people who go, oh, they're so money driven. Well, yeah, that's what publishers do. They're meant to try to bring in money.
Yeah.
The problem is when your publisher has headlines like the SimCity launch, the fact that Sims 3 is currently valued over $400 with all its expansions, the class action lawsuit with Battlefield 4, Disney dismantling LucasArts, which everybody loved and gave all the rights to EA to make Star Wars games. Like, your publisher starts to seem a little fishy. So obviously people are going to be very critical when EA comes out and says, buy this EA only thing. So
yeah,
I can't blame anyone for hating EA at this point. So when I'm looking at the deal, the reason I say it's decent, like right here, right now, yeah, it's a pretty good deal. But there's no guarantee as to how often games will come out, which is a huge downside. And you don't know the quality of games that you're going to get. Like, Dragon Age Inquisition is not coming out. Plants vs. Zombies, if you're talking about Garden Warfare, I don't see that coming anytime soon either.
That'll go free-to-play before it's added to that EA Access. I mean, it's an awesome value if you fall into a specific category. That first category has to be you own an Xbox One, and as Josh pointed out, neither of us own an Xbox One, so it's pretty easy for us to brush it aside. But it's interesting that you bring up the point that all these companies are trying to make money, and you know, you have companies out there like Nintendo trying to do something different. Mind you, they do make stupid mistakes. Don't get me wrong, but they're doing something different. They're trying. Yeah. They're not trying to go with the masses. And when you see people upset with Nintendo for doing that, and you also see people upset at EA for doing what they're doing, like, are we ever happy? Get upset at Blizzard, and I think Blizzard's kind of doing fine right down the middle. They have a new game coming out once a year. They support their games. They listen to their fan base. You know, they price everything pretty well. I'd probably consider Blizzard almost the perfect video game company, but that might get other emails. But you know, we thank Rich for emailing us. You know, try to be nicer next time, maybe. I don't know. We try to be nice. We're definitely nice to our listeners. We may not be nice to EA, but we're definitely nice to our listeners. But we still do appreciate the feedback. Before we head out for the evening, it's been a great episode, and I want to thank Josh and Evan for joining me. And we'll go around the table. Josh, where can the fine listeners find you?
Well, you can find Evan and I together on the Aniki Gaming Podcast Saturdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time here on Twitch. We did a live stream on, which channel do I do? The Aniki Gaming. Yes.
Perfect. And they can follow you on Twitter. The underscore JDC.
Yep.
And follow you on Smite.
Smite. Oh, just Josh 22.
Yes. Evan, where can the fine listeners find you, good sir?
Twitter's probably the easiest place, just at Evan Ottaway. So I post a little bit on there. I am an amateur prop builder, so I've got some stuff going on up there at the moment. I'm building a M98 sniper rifle for Mass Effect, so...
Oh, awesome.
You can follow that on there, and that's the easiest bit. That and Aniki Gaming, which is good fun. We've been doing that now for a few weeks. It's good fun to get into the whole podcasting thing.
Mm-hmm. It's always fun starting a new podcast and kind of seeing where it goes. And I'm glad you guys have taken up the Xbox One mantle. We'll just keep you guys like, hey, you want to listen about the new Xbox One game coming out? Like, go talk to these guys because they got it covered. I want to hear what you guys think about this Master Chief Collection when it comes out, because I think you might be my gateway to getting that system. But yes, thank you both for joining me. Send your well wishes to Jocelyn, everybody, at GIS Gamer, because she would love to hear them. Visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv, along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Jocelyn at GIS Gamer, Ryan, myself, at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Jocelyn Moffat. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+, if you so choose to use those awful, awful websites. Email the show at info. There I go, just shitting on Google and Facebook now.
Next week's episode.
Yeah. Email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com like the lovely Rich did. And, you know, we want to hear your thoughts, and we'll certainly share them. Just be nice. Be nice and smile. All right, guys, thanks for joining us. It's been a lovely episode. Chat room, always awesome to see you out. Evan, Josh, have a fantastic evening.
You as
well. Catch you later.
Bye, everybody. Subscribe to EA Access.
Do it. No, you just go buy an Xbox One first.
Oh,
one step at a time.
Okay, yeah, okay.